We'll be taking your Bibles out to Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans, the 8th chapter, will be the text that we'll be using for our time together today. It's great to see everybody today. Thankful to God for another beautiful day here in Denver, Colorado. I'm thankful for especially the visitors that we have with us. So glad that you've come our way on the first day of the week to worship our Lord. It's been good to be here, encouraging and thankful to have this opportunity. Do have a number of folks that are out, as has been mentioned, but sure good to see a few that have been away. Thankful for the Taylor family and having them to return with us. And also it's great to see Julie Kuiper this morning and Ava and a friend that came with her and others that that we haven't seen in some time perhaps as well. We're so grateful for all of you. Eddie and Abian, what a wonderful blessing that is. Eddie sent us a message on our GroupMe text that we have with some of the men. And I love what he said. Eddie and Abian are servants of our Lord. And as they bring a new child into this world, the first thing that Eddie said was, "Sign me up for prayer, Mr. Mark." So that was his first communication. He's raising a servant to our King, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for Elijah. Let's continue to remember Sean in our prayers. I just want to mention one thing. Sometimes we don't kind of give a whole lot of update about that. Sean is making progress, small steps, but one thing that I think you'd be encouraged by, and that is that he has been provided a computer I think primarily by Eugene and some others that may have worked on that he can control with his eyes. And so he, by way of retinal scanning, can navigate the computer now by use of his eyes pointing to letters and controlling the mouse with that, and able to communicate now, which is such a blessing, and so many good things. So we're thankful for that, thankful for Eugene and others that have done that. But let's continue to remember Sean in our prayers. He needs that, and we're grateful for every little bit of good news that we hear from that. I know that Eugene will mention this. Dan and Diane are out of town. Dan's, I think, brother-in-law passed away rather suddenly, so they had to leave. So we're thankful for those guys in the back that are taking care of this in his absence this morning. Romans 8 is a beautiful passage, folks. What a great text in the Word of God that Romans chapter 8 is. It's one of the texts that, as we look at, really is just so meaningful and so profound, not only for the world in general, but for the people of God. And there are just some chapters that stand out in Scripture, and this one is one of those chapters. It's just a beautiful text in the Word of God. So I want to turn our attention to this text for a little bit this morning and look at some things that I hope will be of encouragement to all of us. In verse 1 of chapter 8, in chapter 8 and verse 1, I don't know that I'm connected quite yet there. Not. Let's see, this thing's not on. Okay. So it's not you, it's me. So it's on me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In the beginning and in the end of this text, kind of bracketed by this statement that we see both in verse 1 and also in the very last verse of the chapter, the idea of being in Christ and what that means to us as we are in Christ. From start to finish, chapter 8 of the book of Romans talks about that wonderful blessing. We want to be in Christ Jesus, for he says here at the very end of the chapter, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sound like somewhere you want to be? I hope and pray that it does. Because in Christ Jesus is everything that matters. Everything that matters is in Christ Jesus. As we think about that this morning, there's so many texts that speak to the idea that that's something that we ought to know, that's something we ought to treasure, and that that's something that ought to sustain us as we go through our lives. We think about texts in the Scriptures that point to the idea of surety, the idea of knowing assuredly that we are in Christ and that we have those blessings. 1 John 5 and verse 13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Is that something you know? Is that something that you know assuredly that you have eternal life? What a blessing that is to continue. And that's something that sustains us, that goes forward, that is not something uncertain, but something that is sure. What a great blessing that is. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is steadiness and surety and safety in that place. And if you have become a Christian, everything changes. Everything. That's not something that we do and, well, that's a little compartment of our life and, you know, now that compartment of our life has changed. When we become a Christian, everything changes. And that's what this text says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Everything. That is all inclusive of every single part of our life. It's changed. Different. I know it is for me. I know I don't want to go back to the condition that I was in before I was in Christ. But for me in Christ Jesus, there is, as verse 1 says, no condemnation. And then verse 38 and verse 39, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's both a negative and a positive. There are things we don't have, no condemnation, and things that we do have, and that is the love of God. Everything that I don't need, I don't have. And everything that I need, I have in Christ Jesus. So that's where we want to be. Ephesians chapter 1 speaks to that in the text that Pierce read for us. And here is such a wonderful text that talks about all the things that we have in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, and particularly in the book of Ephesians as a whole, but in the writings of Paul, we have such an emphasis upon that idea. In Christ Jesus, verse 3, we have every spiritual blessing. I want to be in Christ Jesus because it's there that those blessings are found. Outside of that relationship, outside of Him, I don't have those blessings. You don't have those blessings outside of Jesus Christ. But in Him, that's where they're found. And he speaks in verse 1, if you back up just a couple of verses, that's where the faithful are. As he opens up this epistle to the Ephesians, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." That's where the faithful are. That's where those that have these blessings are. A couple of pages over in your Bible in chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. It says that, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's where all of that is. Such absolutely an incredible thing to think about, that I am in the heavenly places with Him. That's changed my rather morose and hopeless condition. that I am in without Him. I'm alive there. We're new creatures there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We're a part of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 says that Christ is the Savior of the body. That's why I want to be in Him. But before we get into Romans chapter 8, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 29. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's not a Christian. It's not a part of the body of Christ, that has not been made alive, that is not a possessor of all of those spiritual blessings. How do I get into Him? How do I enjoy that? How do I partake in those wonderful things? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." If you want to be in Christ and have all of those things, and the things that we're going to talk about in Romans chapter 8, you need to be baptized into Christ and come into that body. Let's turn our attention to Romans 8 for a few minutes together this morning. Beginning and ending with this idea of being in Christ Jesus. And in particular, here there are some questions that are answered in these brackets between verse 1 and verse 38 and 39. There are some questions that are answered for us in Christ. I want to look at those questions this morning. In verse 32, we find the first one, and particularly this section. Or not the first one, the second one. We'll come back to the first one. But in verse 32, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" These questions are somewhat rhetorical in their nature. He's asking these questions with an understanding that the answers are already apparent. And we know the answers to these questions. And those answers are found in Christ Jesus. And what Paul does here is that he argues from the greater to the lesser. And what he wants for the people of God to understand and for all men to understand is that if he would give his only begotten son, that which meant the most to him, and he would offer that for our benefit, then that takes care of everything else. There's no other issues that I have to be concerned about. And really, when I think about that, all of those second tier kind of questions that I have, all those concerns that I have that are second level kind of issues for me, I know he's going to take care of that. And that's such a blessing for me to understand. If he would do this, if he would give his son, then I don't have to worry about all of these other things because I know they're taken care of. I don't have to worry about that. He forever answers the entirety of man's emptiness and deficiencies in the fullness of his son. Isn't that great? All of that is answered for me in that text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21 through 23, we read, "Therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. If he would give his son, then he would give everything. Everything that he possesses is represented by that greater thing which he has already done. So we don't have to doubt. We don't have to wonder about whether or not he's going to take care of that. this idea that he mentions here that he did not spare his own son, to those Jews that were listening to that, where would they have been taken? They would have been transported back into the Old Testament text in the book of Genesis. And they would have remembered that story that was so very well known to them of Abraham. And how Abraham did not spare his son, but was willing to offer him there in the mountains of Moriah in the very same area that Jesus Christ is being offered or was offered for our sins. Abraham did not keep back his beloved son. And the text there in chapter 22 and verse 12 says, "You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." They would have remembered that story. They would have remembered God stepping in and providing a lamb for the sacrifice and making that available to him. And they would have made the correlation. The Father of the faithful. He will not withhold anything. And whatever else he possesses is by inference offered on the altar of his love. Wasn't because we deserved it. Romans chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If he would die for us, then he's going to live for us. We don't have to doubt anything. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's great. Hallmark, their expression, when you care enough to send the very best. That's what God did. And that takes care of everything else. Let's look at some other things here. Some other questions. In the next verse, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, this question is asked, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. I mean, who is going to do that when God has spoken and he has justified and forgiven me? Who's going to counter that? Who's going to say no to that? Or who's going to challenge what God has done? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? And it doesn't matter if all men say that, if the court of opinion, of public opinion says that, if I say that myself, if I have doubts myself, when God speaks, when he justifies, then I know that that is true. In Revelation chapter 12, we think of passages that talk about this. The very last book of the Bible talks about this with the elect of God, the saints having suffered such persecution. And he speaks there in chapter 12 and verse 10. And it says that, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." People can try to bring a charge against God's elect. People can try to counter what God has said. People can try to unjustify what God has justified, and they will fail every time. And that's what Revelation 12 and verse 11, that's been solved. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is another passage I think about. And what a great passage as he states this idea of the judgment of God. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Folks, when God makes things right, nobody can make them wrong. Nobody can undo that. Nobody can rewind the clock and change the rotation of God's earth when he does that. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verses 25 and 26. No one is going to challenge that. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That is a done deal. And if God says not guilty, then I don't always have to be looking over my shoulder. It says there, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. No other law books to open, no other courts to go to, no other issues to rectify. That has already been done to the fullest. So we don't have to worry about that. The next verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Questions answered for us in Jesus Christ. And this is somewhat along the same line of thinking. But he goes further. Instead of just the accusation, who will accuse or bring a charge? Verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And so that restates the issue. But the beauty of this is that the Lord Jesus Christ has solved that. And that is not a past tense kind of thing only, but that He is in heaven above and He makes intercession for us. That is an ongoing thing. He has risen, He is at the right hand of God, and He also makes intercession for us. Praise God for that, because I need it. And that's a question that's answered for me. That's not a one-time thing. That is an ongoing thing, day after day after day, and that's good, because day after day, I fall short. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 24, we read that Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And the passage that most readily comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. I don't know all that there is to know about this, but I know it is a beautiful thought that He is also able to save to the uttermost. And we're going to talk about this in our lesson next week, the idea of eternal security and confidence in my salvation and what God has done for me. He is able to save to the uttermost, to the furthest reaches of what we need, to those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Those are questions that are answered in Christ Jesus. Questions I need answers to, and answers that I hold to with everything that I've got. Well, the next verse in verse 35 mentions another in Hebrews, or rather Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. And this is probably one of the most well-known verses in the scripture, and what a beautiful thought. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What's going to separate you from Jesus Christ? That's a good question for us to ask. And the answer to that is inherent to the question here, as he mentions some of these things, and that is nothing. There doesn't have to be anything, but I'll tell you what, you can choose the smallest thing. God has locked the doors up tight, and He has everything secure, and nothing is going to come in unless you unlock the door, and you allow that to be so. But there is nothing that will separate us from the love of Christ. None of those things can, against our will, come and take Him away from us. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, John chapter 10 and verse 28, He says, and I give them eternal life, talking about his disciples, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now they could choose to go, and some of them did. Remember, many disciples turned back and did not follow him anymore. And even Christ asked Peter, will you go also? He says, to who shall we go? You have the words of life. We can choose to leave, we can choose to go, but nobody, no thing against our will come in and take us from Him. Security, eternally, and a beautiful idea. He mentions some things here, he mentions tribulation. The word there is in the Greek, phlipsis, and that idea carries the concept of being squeezed. If you look up that word, it means to hem someone in, to be in a constricting or narrow place, oftentimes by internal pressures. And I think there's probably a lot that we could say about that. But the idea is that there will be pressures that come. There will be constraining things that come against us, and we will be squeezed from every side. Is that going to take us away from the Lord Christ? He mentions there in the next verse, the next idea there of distress. And that idea is narrow or confined. A narrow place. And really carries the idea of getting stuck. Have you ever been, I don't know if any of you have ever done this, you ever been spelunking? Anybody know what spelunking is? Caving? One of the most absolutely terrifying things that you will ever do in your life is to go in caves that are filled with water and try to navigate through that. And I remember going one time, and it was only one time, and it was the last time that I ever went, and getting stuck in a very narrow part. I had a little backpack on. That backpack got caught. I couldn't get out of there. I was in this water. There are bugs everywhere. I don't want to be in this place. And I couldn't get out, and I couldn't get free. And that's the idea here of distress, the idea of you being stuck. And there will be tight spots in our lives that are hard to get out of, maybe that we cannot even get out of sometimes. Distresses, difficulties. Is that going to take us away from Jesus Christ? Will physical harm take us away? Will not having enough to eat take us away? Or not having clothes to wear, as he mentions in this passage, or danger or death. None of those things are going to take us away from Jesus Christ. Back up in Romans 8 as we finish this lesson to verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 asks this question. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a great question, and the answer is clear. Nobody. Nobody can be against us. He says in so many places in the scripture, we read about this, Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When God is for us, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter who is against us. That's a question that has been answered for us forevermore, no matter who the enemy is. If God is for us, I don't have to fear. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. He is for my family. He is for me and my work. He is for me and my school. He is for me and my relationships. He's for me and my marriage. He's for me and everything. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In Romans chapter 8, if you look back at verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? I don't know what things he has in mind particularly. I'm not sure exactly what he has reference to the these things that are there. Maybe that's something you could look back at and think about a little bit. But as you back up and kind of just reference that idea of things, the first things that I come to as I back up is in verse 28. And what kind of things are those? All things. All things. And he says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good, and that includes verse 26, the Spirit, includes in verse 27, the Father, and includes in verse 29, the Son. That really takes a lot of pressure off me. I don't know how you feel about that, but that takes a lot of the angst of my heart away. To know that God is for me, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's all good. If God is for me, who will be against me? And that is not limited to some intangible things, but it is everything. God is pulling for me. God is hoping for me. God is waiting for me. And if He is for me, then I am good. In verse 10 of Romans chapter 8, verse 10 of Romans chapter 8, let me ask you the question this morning, are you in Christ? There are so many questions that we've looked at this morning that are answered in Him. And all the things that we need really are right there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And the question is, have we set our minds upon God? Have we set our minds upon Jesus Christ? Look at verse 5 and verse 6. This whole chapter is filled with these great exhortations for us to answer the question. Answer those questions. Am I in Christ? Is He for me? And am I for Him? Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you in Christ this morning? Galatians chapter 3 answers that question for us as to how to get into Him. If you haven't done that this morning, if you haven't been baptized in water for the remission of your sins, dying to sin, raised to walk in newness of life, answering all the questions of your heart, everything that you need, don't let today slip by. Don't walk out of here again not having done what you know that you need to do. Why don't you take care of that today? We'd love to help you with that if we can. If we can do anything for you, won't you come while we stand?